The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show.
Hey everyone, this is Mindy. Thanks for listening to another episode of Old Time Radio. Next up on The Big Show, we're at episode 45. This one aired January 27th, 1952. And just a couple of notes about this particular program. You're going to hear a lot of mistakes and timing issues. It seems really unrehearsed and unpolished compared to so many of these other episodes. And, you know, a mistake here or there that's kind of like joked about, they just kind of play that for laughs, and they've done that throughout the course of this show. But this one in particular just felt sloppy is probably too negative a word, but it, in comparison to how sleek the production has been so far, this one, I think you'll hear quite a few mistakes and timing issues are just kind of strange. And then another thing to just make note of, these shows are from a different cultural era, and there are some racially insensitive moments where someone is mimicking an Asian accent in a very stereotypical and derogatory way that used to be pretty common back in the day. So fair warning on that. And then also just another note, they mentioned that the Motion Picture Herald Show of Shows Championship winner was awarded to The Big Show. Motion Picture Herald is a film industry trade paper, or used to be. I imagine it was kind of what we would think of as Variety now, or I'm not a Hollywood player. I don't really know what the trade papers are now that I think about it. But that's what I'm thinking that used to be. So that would have been a pretty big honor. And a lot of mentions of Lifeboat. Lifeboat actually came out in 1944. That's the Hitchcock film set entirely in a lifeboat that has Tallulah Bankhead in probably, arguably, her most successful venture into film. She was more known for the stage. So I'm not sure why there's so many, considering how old the movie is at that point. I thought maybe it had come out maybe a year or two before, but no, it's like almost 10 years earlier. But then we go on to the stars. So Victor Borge, Danish-American, combined music and comedy, often called the Clown Prince of Denmark, the Unmelancholy Dane, or the Great Dane. This is a name a lot of people still know, had a very kind of prolific career in this time frame that The Big Show takes place in. He started his career in Europe playing music and doing review acts, and started to gain a following by telling anti-Nazi jokes, and kind of used that to push forward in America. 1941, he got here, spoke no English, but quickly somehow was able to adapt his humor to American humor tastes, which is commendable. He started appearing on Rudy Valley's show and then followed that up by being on the Kraft Music Hall, which was Bing Crosby's show. So he really found his footing pretty quickly in American entertainment. By 1942, he was Best New Radio Performer of the Year, and that led to film offers. I mean, it really was just full steam ahead for him. 1946, he even had his own show, The Victor Borge Show on NBC. And that's where he started to craft these routines that he became known for, and you're going to hear some of them here, and they're pretty funny. And he toured all the way into his 90s, so a very established lifelong career by the time he even gets here, but then he continued it on for decades. And that brings us to Tony Bevar. He's a singer and an actor. I found exactly one thing of use in terms of his background or even who he was. This is somebody who a year before or a year after would never have been on The Big Show. He just happened to catch fire for a couple of years. He was just that star of the moment kind of person. Singer and actor, 1951, so a year before this show, he gained a lot of attention. He was in Paint Your Wagon. He was in a smaller role, but a breakout role for him. He won multiple awards, and he's riding this unexpected fame. And so it didn't seem to last long from what I could tell. And I found an article from one of the St. Louis papers of the time about him touring with the show. And they were talking about he's got these dark, good looks, and he had this convincing accent. and spoke Spanish so well, and people just assumed he was from like Mexico or Mexican or something, and he wasn't. He was an Italian from Brooklyn, and he was born and raised there. Italian explains the dark good looks, but the Spanish that he knew came from touring with rumba musicians, and he just kind of picked it up as he was interacting with them and being around them and listening to them. All of this would lead to getting a record contract, and he continued performing in musicals. That's really where his bread and butter was. And after that, I really didn't find that much about him. I'm not sure where his career ended up, really. So Tony Bevar was of the moment 1952 celebrity. Then there's the long-lasting people, the impactful ones that there's all sorts of information about. Ray Golding and Bob Elliott. And so their comedy duo, Bob and Ray, they had a 5-decade career. And you'll hear it here, and so some of these comedy routines feel dated or they feel corny. And some of them are corny deliberately, and that's funny. But this is one of the acts that really got me laughing. Like, I thought they were really humorous. Even by, like, modern sensibilities, I think it's very funny what they do. And so what they're known for is satirizing radio and TV interviews, acting like they're real journalists, having a real report or a real news show. And so it's so interesting how it even started. They were both in Boston, separate radio announcers, and they would drop in on each other's shows live and just have a completely unscripted banter. And it was so amusing to people that the radio station that they worked for wanted that banter as much as possible. And so they were often called on to fill in time. And like if the Red Sox games were rained out and there was just kind of unplanned for open air, here comes Ray and Bob, or Bob and Ray, to fill that with just talking and just being themselves. And that's where they started to build out some of what they became known for. And then they would go on to have a successful NBC network series and develop dozens of characters. And they voiced all of them between the two of them. These fake news programs that they deadpanned their way through and had all of these recurring kind of beat reporters, I guess, that they would bring on. And so their lasting impact, they started doing TV specials and would do this all the way through the 80s. So for like 30 years after this performance, they are still respected and sought after and celebrated. To the point where one of them said, "It just keeps happening to us. I suppose each new generation notices that we are here." They did a special with the original cast of SNL, Saturday Night Live. And they did a special with the cast of SCTV. And then they were doing these PBS specials in the early 80s, and people still love them. 3 Peabody Awards. They actually won one in the year of 1952. And so they're already big stars. They're already being recognized for the quality of what they do. And then National Radio Hall of Fame. So a whole lot of stuff to listen for. From January 27th, 1952, this is The Big Show.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show. The first half hour presented by the makers of Reynolds Aluminum, the Reynolds Metals Company, and starring the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead. For the next hour and 30 minutes, you will be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business. Such bright stars as
Jack Carson,
Tony Bevar, Bob Elliott,
Ray Golding,
Victor Borgett,
James Barton,
Vera Lynn,
Meredith Wilson.
And my name, darlings, is Tallulah Bankhead. Darlings, we had a lot of trouble getting The Big Show on the air this week. Actors are just impossible, really they are, you know. You've never heard so much crying about wanting more funny lines on the show. But finally, they gave me a few more lines, and so here we are, darling. But I had to compromise. I had to let each of the other hams on the show tell a funny story. So here's a very funny story, first by Jack Carson.
Thank you. Well, this is a story that happened during the last war. It's over now, you know. We won, you know. Well, there was this beautiful WAC who was stationed down south in Fort Bragg. One hot summer day, she was walking along the road, and she came to a beautiful clearing surrounded by these real tall trees, see? And there in the center of the clearing was a little pond that looked so inviting, she took off her clothes and jumped in for a swim. Pretty soon, she saw an officer coming along in the distance, so she jumped out, hid behind the trees, and was completely dressed when the officer walked into the clearing without even looking at her. He said, "Camouflage battalion, forward march." And all the trees got up and walked away.
A Yankee trick. How could I know they were soldiers? They look like trees to me. Well, now there's that new popular young singer, Tony Bavar. He has to tell a joke, too.
Well, Miss Bankhead, you see, I'm a singer, and the only jokes I know are about musicians. They have a special kind of hep talk. Like two musicians standing on a corner, and a big fire truck goes clanging down the street, and one musician turns to the other and says, "Man, dig that arrangement." And the one that actually happened with a well-known musician who was asked to send in a testimonial for an advertisement about Manischewitz wine. He wrote in, "I like Manischewitz wine. It's real crazy."
I know him well, good old Colonel Manischewitz. Well, next we have a story from another singer. She's our lovely and talented English import, Vera Lynn.
Well, the best story I heard since arriving here in America is one I laugh at every time somebody tells it. Of course, I'd enjoy it more if I understood it. It's the one about the woman who told another woman that she got on the scale that morning and she weighed 135 pounds. And the other woman inquired, "Stripped?" And the first one replied, "Oh, no, the drugstore was crowded."
And you don't understand that, darling. Well, meet me in the drugstore after the show and bring a penny and I'll demonstrate. Now we come to, let me see. Oh, well, let's hear from the very droll pianist comedian Victor Borg. He thinks he has a funny story to tell, he thinks.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine once had a date with Siamese twins. The next day I asked him how he made out, and he said yes and no.
That was great, Dane. Our next two newcomers to New York, are two newcomers to New York, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding. This is the story they have to tell.
Well, Ray, we'll tell the story about our favorite school teacher, Miss Conley, and the college student, huh?
Oh, why tell that one? They'll only laugh.
Well, let's try it anyway.
Okay, who'll be the school teacher, Miss Conley?
You be Miss Conley. You've got the mustache.
All right.
This is a story about a college student who was madly in love with one of his school teachers, and one day he got up the courage to ask her out on a date. She accepted. And at dinner he said, "How about a drink, Miss Conley?"
"No, thank you. I don't drink."
And after dinner they went dancing, and again he asked her if she'd have a drink.
"No, thank you. I never, never drink."
After the dance, he was driving her home, and once again he asked her if she'd like to stop for a drink.
"Oh, no, I told you, I never drink anything."
Well, as she was about to get out of the car, he got up the courage to ask her for a goodnight kiss.
"Of course, I'll be glad to."
Well, they sat in the car kissing and holding hands for about an hour, and then she finally said,
"Well, it's getting late, I must be going. Did you have a good time, Bob?"
"Oh, yes, very good."
"That's what I tell all my pupils. You don't have to drink to have a good time."
The opinions expressed by Bob and Ray are entirely their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of the star of the show. Well, darling, now we come to one of the most versatile actors in the American theater. James Barton likes this story.
A fellow walked into a saloon with a parrot on his finger like this, talking Chinese to him. Well, of course, the parrot talked every language. If you spoke French to him, he says, "Parlez-vous français?" So on, Italian, Spanish, German, any other language. Perched him on the end of the bar, and the bartender said, "Wait a minute, get that thing off of there. I don't want feathers all over the place. Get that thing off the end of the bar. What's the matter with you? Get the bird out of here, will you?" He said, "Please, wait a minute. Talk that way. This isn't an ordinary bird, you know. It's a wonderful bird. He speaks every language." "Go away. Well, I'm telling you, he speaks every language. Don't you believe me?" Says, "I'll bet you $100 you don't." "All right. $100 says he does." Bartender covered the bet. Fella talked to the bird. He spoke Spanish to him. He says, "Come on, honey, now. Come on, babe. Come on now. Papa's talking to you now. Come on now. Pretty boy, come on now. Was you looking for pom? Did you need to come for something? Come on, honey. Not a yap out of it. Shut his kisser up like a clam. He didn't even say anything. Sneered with one eyebrow. Did you look for pom? Spoke all kinds of language. The bartender walked over. He sneered. Picked up the bet. Walked down the end of the bar. Fella says, "What's the matter with you? Got him with a throat like this." He says, "I ought to wring your neck for you. I ought to wring your neck. Why didn't you say something? You made me lose $100. Parrot says, "Nix. Well, you see what those odds are tomorrow."
That's very funny, Jim. You know, I have a talking bird myself. It's a minor bird. Oh, we have long, wonderful conversations together every day. I talk and she listens. And now, darlings, let's hear a story from our darling sponsor, Reynolds Aluminum. Their story starts off with a question. How would you like to have your Reynolds Aluminum today? As if we had any choice.
Oh, but you have, Miss Bankhead. That's just the point. Aluminum can take so many different forms. Ground into powder, it's Reynolds aluminum pigment to make paints and roof coatings. The liquid aluminum that puts a weatherproof, heat-reflecting metal shield on any surface. Rolled in a sheet, it makes airplanes, trailer bodies, and Reynolds lifetime aluminum roofing and siding. Rolled still finer, it makes bright, protective foil packaging. And of course, your kitchen rolls of Reynolds Wrap, the original and genuine, the pure aluminum foil. Then, aluminum can also be extruded. That is, pushed through dies of any shape, like toothpaste through the head of a tube, to come out as square or round, solid or hollow, or in complicated profiles. That's how the strong framing members of Reynolds aluminum windows are made. Powder, foil, sheet, extrusions. It is this versatility that makes the age of aluminum. Reynolds aluminum.
Well, darlings, I think it's time now we had some music, don't you? For our song tonight, Vera Lynn has chosen a popular new tune, rapidly climbing to the top spot on the hit parade. The song, Dance Me Loose. Meredith Wilson and the orchestra. And Meredith, if you please, darling.
My little Dutch girl in Sheboygan was perfect in English at school. But when she's excited and when she's delighted, her words get mixed up as a rule. On Saturday night in Sheboygan, there's dances to waltzes they play. Even boys who can dance will all take a chance just to hear her say, "I warm so easy, so dance me loose, dance me loose, dance me loose. I warm so easy, so dance me loose. It shines so bright, the moon. Don't hold my arm so extra out, extra out, extra out. Don't hold my arm so extra out. It makes so good to spoon." The music played and played and played. They danced around the floor. The fellow stayed and stayed and stayed to hear her say once more, "I warm so easy, so dance me loose, dance me loose, dance me loose. I warm so easy, so dance me loose, dance me loose.
I want so easy, la, so la, dance la, me la, loose.
It shines la, so la, bright la, the moon. Don't hold my arm so extra out.
Extra out, extra out.
Don't hold my arm so extra out. It makes la, so la, good la, to speak. La, 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 la.
Music played and played and played. They danced around the floor.
La, 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 la.
The fellows stayed and stayed and stayed to hear her say once more.
I warm so easy, so dance me loose. Dance me loose, dance me loose. I warm so easy, so dance me loose. It shines so bright, the moon.
It makes so good to spoon.
It shines so bright, the moon.
Good going, Billy, darling. Beautifully sung. How is our little English cousin making out in these great big United States?
Oh, wonderfully well, Tallulah. Especially now that I've mastered the language over here. For instance, I don't say lift anymore. I say elevator.
Good girl.
As a matter of fact, on my way to the studio today, I couldn't get a taxi, and one of the chaps in the orchestra drove by in his car, and I asked him if he'd give me an elevator to the studio.
Well, at least that's an improvement over the first night you got into town, and you called me up and told me you'd eaten too much dinner, and you were having petrol pains. Tell me, Vera, have you been going out much since you came to town, darling?
Oh, yes. I was out the other night with a young chap, and he took me to...
Pardon me, Vera, my sweet. We don't use the word chap over here. We say young fellow.
Young fellow. Thank you, Tallulah.
You're welcome, dear. And you say you were out with a chap the other day?
You mean young fellow?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, of course I mean.
Yes, he took me to the theater, and later we went dancing, and then he drove me home in his car. And he insisted on sitting there for hours, talking and talking. It was bitterly cold, and I actually got frostbitten. And I had young fellow all over my lips.
Think it over, darling. It takes a little time. Anyone I know, Vera? And now, Vera, if you'll pardon me, I'd like to introduce a chap who is our next guest. Here's a gentleman who has been in radio, he has been in television, he has been on the stage, and recently he's been in London. But no matter where he's always been a fashion plate. So here he is, a plate of beans, Jack Carson.
Thank you, Tallulah. I appreciate that coming from a lady who has been in the theater, and who has been in Hollywood, who has been on the concert stage, and who has been in radio. A real... has been Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, it takes one to know one, Buster.
I don't want to get into one of those corny comedy routines with you. I'm a changed man since you saw me last.
Yeah?
No longer am I the gay laughing clown. Gone forever is the flashy sports jacket I wore in Hollywood with a built-in neon sign that said Jack Carson, star of stage, screen, television, and garage for rent.
But what happened, Jack? Did you rent your garage?
How can you rent a garage in Hollywood with everybody riding around in boats?
Oh, yes, I've been reading about the big rain you've been having.
Please, Tallulah, it did not rain. We had a heavy sunstorm. That's why I came east. My house floated away. But I stayed with it till it went down.
Well, well, Captain Carson of Hollywood.
Thank you.
I heard there were hundreds of houses swept away in the storm.
There's absolutely no foundation to those houses, to those stories. Now, after the storm, as it is after all storms, I see before me now the rainbow and the pot at the other end.
I can see half of it. Where's the rainbow?
Tallulah, you don't understand. You see, I have a new aim now in life. I aim to become... Brace yourself. I aim to become a dramatic actor.
Well, I think... Brace yourself. Your aim is lousy.
Yes, well, would it surprise you to know that I once won critical acclaim when I played Hamlet?
No, darling, everybody, sometime or other, has been Hamlet.
When the play was Othello? Tallulah, you are speaking to no barefoot boy with a cheek of tan.
But there's plenty of cheek playing Hamlet indeed.
But Tallulah, there's another side of me that you haven't seen.
Don't tell me there's more of you behind that bay window.
You know, in the old days when I was a comedian, I might have said I'd rather have my bay window than your back porch. But not John Carson, the dramatic actor.
John Carson, actor, I laugh. How can you possibly think that you can make the transition from comedian to dramatic actor? How?
It's quite simple, after all. What is a dramatic actor but a comedian who doesn't get any laughs?
Oh, well, in that case, you should do quite well. And I'm going to put you to the test. I have here one of Dorothy Parker's whimsical little playlets. It's called Here We Are. Will you take a chance with me?
Later. Let's do the playlet first. Huh?
Okay. But you'd better take a minute to go over your lines. This is your big chance to get into the who's who in the theater, along with such great names as Bankhead and Tallulah. And Tallulah Bankhead. And Bankhead Tallulah. Oh, by the way, there's another who's who. This one printed, of all things, on aluminum foil. I wonder if I'm listed in that one as Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, Miss Bankhead, this is a special who's who. The famous brand packages on your market shelves. They are printed on Reynolds aluminum foil, printed in richly glowing colors by Reynolds' own high-speed presses. You see, Reynolds pioneered in developing, for foods and other packaged products, the wonderful protective qualities of aluminum foil. Protection against moisture, light, air, odors. And it was Reynolds who perfected the techniques of printing on foil, including the use of transparent inks that let the brilliance of the metal shine through. The result is a twofold triumph. Quality maintained at its best all the way to your home, and beauty that naturally attracts your eye. No wonder famous brands of cereals and cookies, dried fruits and dehydrated soups, butter, cheese and margarine, candy, cigarettes and chewing gum, all find themselves lined up on your market shelves like a new who's who of foil packaging by the Reynolds Metals Company, one of America's great producers of aluminum.
All right, John Carson, we're ready to show you off as a dramatic actor. The playlet, Here We Are, by Dorothy Parker. Meredith, will you set the mood, please, darling?
Well, here we are.
Yes, we are, aren't we?
Yeah, it certainly looks like it. Looks a little like Pelham, too, out there.
That's odd. We got on at Pelham.
Yeah. Well, there it goes, good old Pelham. Well, we made it.
Huh? What?
I said we made it. We got away with it.
Got away with what?
The wedding.
Oh, oh, oh.
Tickets. Well, 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 two little turtle doves.
Hmm? What do you mean?
Ticket sucker.
Now, how could he tell?
What did he mean, sucker?
Oh, him? Oh, that's the conductor. You know, guys like that see a lot of this kind of thing.
What kind of thing?
Well, newlyweds like us. He was just kidding.
But I don't see anything to kid about.
Of course not. This isn't something to laugh at. No, sir. This is serious. This is really for keeps.
What'd you say?
Well, how does it feel to be a regular old married lady?
Oh, well, it's too soon to ask me that. We've only been married about 3 hours, haven't we?
2 hours and 26 minutes.
Oh, seems like longer.
Well, it isn't hardly 6:30 yet.
Well, I guess it just seemed late. I guess because it gets dark so early.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, the nights are going to be pretty long from now on. I mean, no. But you know what I mean. It starts getting dark early.
Well, no, I didn't have any idea what time it was. Everything was so mixed up, I sort of don't know where I am or what it's all about. I mean, Goodness, I don't see how people get mad every day and everything.
What do you mean, everything?
Well, you know, get mad and everything. When you think of all the people and everything, all over the world getting mad just as if it was nothing. Eskimos and everybody and everything.
Let's not...
Just as if it was nothing, I mean, everything.
Let's not try to worry about everybody else, especially Eskimos. They don't take honeymoons anyway.
Oh.
Just sit around their igloos and toss each other a fish.
Yeah, I know, but I just sort of got to thinking about them, you know, all over everywhere.
No, come on now. Now, this is no way to start a honeymoon with all this thinking going on. Look at us. We're all married and everything done. I mean, the wedding.
Oh, it was nice, wasn't it? Did you really like my veil?
Ah, you look great. Just
oh,
simply great.
I'm terribly glad. Ellie and Louise looked lovely, didn't they?
Yeah.
I'm terribly glad they did finally decide on pink. They looked perfectly lovely.
Yeah. You know, when I was standing up there in that old church waiting for you to come up, and I saw those two bridesmaids, I thought to myself, boy, I never knew Louise could look like that. Why, she'd have knocked anybody's eye out.
Oh, really? Funny. Of course, everybody thought her dress and her hat were lovely, but a lot of people seem to think she looks so tired. A lot of people have been saying that lately about Louise, but of course I tell them they've got to remember that Louise isn't so terribly young anymore.
Well, she was certainly a knockout at the wedding. Boy.
Well, I'm terribly glad you thought so. I'm glad somebody did. Well, how did you think Ellie looked?
Ellie? Well, I didn't get a very good look at her.
No, really?
Hmm.
Well, I certainly think that's too bad. I don't suppose I ought to say it about my own sister, but I never saw anybody look as beautiful as Ellie looked today. And always so sweet and so unselfish, too, and you didn't even notice her. It makes me feel just terrible. Makes me feel just awful that you don't even like my own sister.
Well, I do so like her. I'm crazy for Ellie. She's a doll.
Well, don't think it makes any difference to Ellie. Only, the only thing is it makes it awfully hard for me. You don't like her. That's the only thing. I mean, I keep thinking when we come back and get in the apartment and everything.
Come back? We ain't been nowhere yet.
Well, it's just going to make it awfully hard that you won't ever want my family around. I know how you feel about my family. Don't think I haven't seen
it. Now, wait a minute. What's all this talk about not wanting your family around? You know how I feel about your family. I think your old lady, or your mother, is swell, and Ellie, and then your old man is a real character. He kills me. What's all this talk? This is our honeymoon. I guess you're just kind of nervous or something, huh?
Me? What have I got to be nervous about? I mean, I'm not nervous.
Well, it's all right. You go right ahead and be nervous. It's kind of right, you know. They say that girls get like that, you know. Kind of yippy and stuff on a kind of thinking and everything. But, you know, just relax. Everything's going to be okay. See, why don't you take that hat off and relax?
That hat?
Yeah, it looks great on you. Looks just like an ashtray.
Would you please be so kind as to put it on the rack, please?
Sure.
Do you like it?
Well, yeah. I guess it's the newest style and everything, but... I like that blue hat you had. Yeah, I like that hat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. The first thing you say to me as soon as you get me off on a train and away from my family is that you don't like my hat.
Now, honey, I didn't...
Well, it's too bad you didn't marry somebody that would get the kind of hat you like. Hats that cost $3.95. Why don't you marry Louise? You'd love her taste in hats.
Now, wait a minute.
Why did you marry her? All you've done ever since we've got on this train is talk about Louise. Why didn't you ask her to marry you? Why didn't you ask her to marry you? I'm sure she would have jumped at the chance.
Why didn't you marry Joe Brooks?
I could have. He wanted me bad enough. Maybe I should have. Joe Brooks has always been very fond of me.
Yeah, he's so fond of you, he didn't even send you a wedding present. That's how fond of you he was.
I happen to know for a fact that he was away on business, and as soon as he comes back, he's going to give me anything I want for the apartment.
What? Now, listen. I don't want anything he gives you in our apartment. Anything he gives you, I'll throw right out of the window. I'll throw him out of the window, too.
You have got no right to talk about Joe Brooks, you and your friend Louise.
I'll throw Louise out of the window, too. Who's married to who around here? Now, baby. Baby, let's be friends, huh?
Friends?
Yeah. I mean, bury the hatchet or something. Well, marry.
I'm sorry.
No, it's my fault.
Well, you didn't think it was mine, did you?
Now, look. We'll be in New York in a few minutes, and the big deal starts. I mean, we'll have to get some dinner, huh? And then we can sort of see what we feel like doing, you know. Anything special you want to do tonight? I mean, like... See a show or something?
Well, I didn't think that people people went to shows and things on there. I just didn't think that. Well, I've got a couple of letters I simply must write.
You're going to write letters? Okay, when you're finished, maybe I could get you a magazine and a bag of peanuts.
What?
I mean, I wouldn't want you to be bored.
Oh, as if I could be bored with you, silly. Aren't we married? Huh? Bored?
Well, maybe we could skip the show until tomorrow night. And maybe you could write the letters some other time, huh?
I guess so.
And we won't fight ever anymore, will we?
No, we won't. Not ever. We're never going to be like all those other married people here about. We won't go all to pieces. We won't fight. Huh? Reach me down my hat, will you, sweetheart?
Sure. Here you are.
That's not my hat. That's an ashtray.
Oh! Sorry. Here you are.
Thanks. I'm very sorry you don't like my hat.
I do so like
it. You said you didn't. You said you thought it was perfectly horrible.
I did not. You're crazy.
All right, I may be crazy. Thank you very much indeed. But it makes you feel funny to think you've gone and married somebody to think you've got perfectly terrible taste in hats. And then goes and says you're crazy besides.
Now listen here, honey. Nobody said any such thing. Why?
Yes, you did.
I love that hat. I don't know what it's supposed to be, but believe me, I love it. Like, the more I look at it, the better I like it. It's really terrific.
Oh, I'm glad you like it. I'd hate you not to like my hat. It would be such a bad start.
Well, I'm goony for it.
Oh.
We've got that settled, for heaven's sake.
Uh-huh.
Oh, baby lamb. We're not going to have any bad starts. Look at us. We're on our honeymoon. Pretty soon we'll be regular old married people. I mean, in a few minutes, we'll be in...
Grand Central Station.
Oh, what do you know? Here we are.
Here we are, aren't we? Thank you, Jack Carson. You were surprisingly good. If I'd known he was going to get that many laughs, I'd have played both parts myself. Why did I have to sandwich Carson in there? And speaking of sandwiches, our darling sponsor wants to tell us about a new sandwich. An aluminum sandwich, of course.
Well, yes, in a way, Miss Bankhead. In modern tables, a layer of aluminum is sandwiched under the wood veneer surface. Why? Because highly conductive aluminum spreads heat so rapidly that the tops of these tables cannot be scorched by a hot dish or even by a burning cigarette. That's just one small example of the multiplying uses for aluminum. Military needs now limit civilian supply, but the goal of today's expanding production is to meet all needs. Remember that behind this expansion is the power of competition, which is also the pressure that keeps prices low. Aluminum is the only basic material that costs less today than before World War II. And it was Reynolds who brought competition into the industry. The Reynolds Metals Company, pioneers of progress through aluminum.
We'll be back in just a moment, darlings, with Act Two, just after I ring my chimes. This is NBC... the National Broadcasting Company.
This is The Big Show, Act Two. And here again is Tallulah Bankhead.
Thank you, Ed, darling. And now, on a serious note, The Big Show takes great pleasure in presenting for the first time anywhere on this stage... the distinguished Danish concert piano monologist, Mr. Victor Borge. Ladies and gentlemen, the house lights dim. The footlights come slowly up. Mr. Borge walks to the piano. A hush of anticipation comes over the audience as Mr. Borger reaches his beloved keyboard, swiftly arranges a few sheets of music, and then slowly seats himself.
Oops, cold piano bench.
Mr. Borger is going to play for us tonight an entire evening of Mozart.
Thank you. for my first selection.
Mr. Varga's interpretation of Mozart has become world-renowned.
Thank you. For my first selection...
We call your special attention to Mr. Varga's skill and technique through some of the more difficult passages of Mozart's compositions, a technique which has seldom been equaled, much less surpassed, by any other concert pianist.
Thank you. For my third selection...
We are now ready... We are now ready to hear the beautiful music of Mozart, interpreted by Mr. Varga.
Well, now I'm not ready.
We might add in passing that Mr. Varga is dressed in white tie and tails.
And that's all. White tie and tails and no suit.
Mr. Varga is nervously wringing the talented fingers of his hands.
Yes, I keep ringing, but they don't answer.
We should also note here that Mr. Varga is a graduate of the Conservatory of Music of Copenhagen, where he won many honors for his piano playing, his musical compositions, and his conducting.
I also run the 100 yards in 10 seconds.
As a footnote, we might also remark here that Mr. Varga is not only a talented musician, but he has many other ambitions.
Yes, one of my greatest ambitions is to play here sometime tonight.
Mr. Varga is a strikingly handsome, most personable, and quite a virile figure of a man.
Why am I fooling around with Mozart? That's neck.
Mr. Varga is about ready to begin. He has just taken a sip of water.
Ah, that's what she thinks.
Now he puts one hand on the keys, now the other.
And now the other. Finally, the other. Now that we've got four hands, we'll play canasta.
Mr. Varga pauses again to take another sip of water.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, now we are ready to begin.
And now, if you're ready to play Varga, I'll take a sip of that water.
This is a opera by Mozart. It's an opera in one act. It begins when the curtain rises. Otherwise, you couldn't see a thing. And it is called a Mozart opera because it was written by Mozart, who also wrote the music. And it... the stage setting is a kind of a small forest. There are two trees, which makes it kind of small, and they are placed one on each side of the stage, or vice versa, all depending, of course, where you are seated. Now, first, the tenor comes in. He is supposed to meet his soprano, as they usually call them, but she happened... but she happened to be a little late this particular season, so he hides himself behind one of the trees in order to surprise her when she comes in a little later, which she does. So when she comes in a little later, she can't find him because he's behind the tree. And she does not know that. As a matter of fact, she knows it because she saw it during rehearsals. But she pretends that she doesn't know it, so she hides herself behind the other tree, and now they're standing for about 27 minutes behind each tree, screaming their heads off. And the following 20 minutes, they are trying to locate them again. And next, the chorus comes in. Nobody knows why except Mozart, and he is dead. And that's just too bad. Especially for Mrs. Mozart, of course. But this is none of my business. Why should I mix myself up in other people's private life? Don't even know them. Now, finally, her father shows up. Not Mrs. Mozart's father, of course, but the father of the soprano. And he's very mad because she is not his daughter. This has nothing to do with the opera. I found that out myself. That's what we call research. And he decides that she must die, and since she is a very obedient daughter, she dies, and that is the end of the opera. Now, you hear the opera. First, the conductor's footsteps when he enters the orchestra pit.
He's in a hurry.
You think he limps a little? He walks sideways. Here is the overture. This was the first part of the overture. Now you'll hear the second part, which is exactly the same. Now this little blip is an extra blip we have in case we shoot one short of blips. But that has never happened, so we have a lot of blips left over. Now the curtain rises and the tenor comes in. He's a little tall fellow, and he comes in from the left in a single file. He goes behind the tree right away. Now the leading lady arrives. She is supposed to fill the part of the soprano. She not only fills it, she overflows it. She's one of these big she's a big soprano. She's what we call a messy soprano. She comes in backwards, but nobody notices the difference. Except, of course, her closest relatives who have seen her in the summertime on the beaches. all around. Now, here she comes. She goes behind the other tree. She can hardly wait. And now... Now is the time for the chorus to come in. And the light is now dimmed, so since you can hardly see them, they are dressed in a kind of cheap underwear. Because there is no reason to spend a lot of money for costumes when you can't see them. And that's the way the sponsor feels about it, and that's the way it's going to do. And here they come, the darlings. This is a mixed chorus. Now they fool around a little in the dark, as I told you, they don't know why they're there, so they fool out again. Now they get the money and go home. Next, a baritone comes in and sings, Toreador, 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 but he finds out that he's in the wrong opera. He gets out of there. Now the old man comes in, her father, Tallulah Mozart. He is what we call il basso. He's both.
Il what, yeah.
But how low can a man get? Finally gets the idea, and now she must die, and therefore she sings the famous Die aria. Oh, must I die? La, 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 la. Oh, must I die? She seems very happy about it. And she dies by stabbing herself between the two big trees there on the stage.
Mr. Morgan. What a delightful entertainer. A really smooth performer. And now we have a couple of newcomers. In spite of the relatively short time they have been with NBC, they were this week selected by the Radio Editors of America in the annual fame poll as the comedians with the brightest future. Their particular type of humor is at once zany and sophisticated. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy meeting Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding, known to their listeners as Bob and Ray. Well, gentlemen, by the way, which one of you is Bob Elliott?
Well, I am.
Oh, how do you do?
And this is my partner, Ray Goulding.
How do you do?
How do you do? What was that name again?
Tallulah Bankhead.
Oh, how do you do, Miss Bankhead? We'd like to get an interview from you on our tape recorder that we brought along here. Pretty good machine we got here, if I can just hook it up someplace.
Oh, of course, go right ahead. I love giving interviews.
Well, the kind of stuff we want, Miss Bankhead, is that snappy type of humor for which you're best known for, which... Ray, are you ready over there?
I will be as soon as I read these instructions on my machine, Bob. Let's see, this is the first time we used it, Miss Bankhead. We got it for a Christmas present. We thought it was an erector set until it started talking to us one night. Okay, how's this, Bob? Can you hear me, Bob?
Now, Miss Bankhead, I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Hello, Bob. Am I coming in, Bob? Hello, Bob.
The first question, Miss Bankhead, did anything interesting ever happen to you?
You're kidding, aren't you, darling?
Of course, keep in mind that this is recorded for transcription on the air and is therefore under the direct jurisdiction and censorship of the National Intercollegiate Football Association.
In that case, nothing ever happened to me.
I see. Now for my next question.
Hello, Bob. Bob, hello. Hello, Bob, hello. Bob, hello. Bob, hello, I ain't. Bob, hello, I ain't.
What do you think of television, Miss Bankhead?
I'd better not answer that either.
Hello, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ray. Who is this?
This is Ray.
Hello, Ray. How are we coming in, okay? Can you hear us?
Hello, Bob.
Are you getting all this, Ray?
Hello, Bob. Hey, you know that tape recorder we got for Christmas? It's an erector set.
Hello, Ray.
I'm coming in, Bob.
Hello. Are we coming in okay? Can you hear us, Ray?
Oh, here you are, Bob.
Hello, Ray. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Bankhead. Due to mechanical difficulties beyond our control, we'll have to cancel the interview. Unless you want to record it on our erector set.
Just a minute, you two. I'm beginning to have my doubts about this whole thing. What sort of a program do you boys do?
Well, you tell her, Bob.
Hello, Ray.
Hello, Bob. She wants to know what kind of a program we do on radio.
Hello, Ray. I can hear you now.
Well, we do a kind of an educational program with a sort of a light comedy touch. Not everything we do is as serious as this. Would you like to hear the kind of program we do?
Not particularly.
Well, we'll be glad to. Thank you. Okay, Bob.
Hello. All right.
Hello. Look, let's do one of our travelogues for Miss Bankhead.
Yeah, start traveling, Buster.
Bob and Ray present...
A Kirkpatrick Brothers Travelogue.
This is Maurice Kirkpatrick.
And this is Patrick Kirkpatrick.
Radio, we take you to...
Tahiti.
Colorful Tahiti, where ancient palm trees swaying in the breeze reflect in the waters of the blue lagoons. Little brown children gather crabs, shrimp, oysters, clams, quahogs, lobsters, and tartar sauce.
Ebullient Tahiti, where joy is king, laughter is queen, and all day long the natives eat crabs, shrimp, oysters, clams, quahogs, and lobsters with tartar sauce.
And as our boat approaches the shore, we pass a native outrigger. Hello, outrigger.
Hello.
Where have you been?
Out rigging.
Just ahead of us, we see a rock sticking out of the water. It's called by the natives Plymouth Rock, after a breed of hens they raise in Tahiti.
We are getting closer to the rock. Closer. Closer. I think you could hit it, Maurice.
It's a breed of hens they raise in Tahiti.
And now the natives see us, and as they line the shore, they say a Tahitian chant of welcome.
And as our boat touches the beach, the natives rush forward and lift the both of us on their shoulders.
And then they throw the both of us back in the ocean. This is an old custom. Who is that third guy?
I don't know. He
came over on the boat with us.
This is an old custom signifying thanks to the sea for bringing us to the island.
And so, happy and dripping, we cross the sands and stand in the welcome shade of the coconut tree. Ow. Uh-uh. It is fall in Tahiti, and the coconuts do. Who got that third one?
The guy who came over on the boat with us.
And as we stand under the coconut trees, a line of dancing girls approaches us.
Say, Maurice, the women here, they don't wear any...
This is a native dance called...
Maurice!
The wing dance.
Maurice, the women don't wear any...
An ancient native custom...
Let me finish, Maurice. The women don't wear any makeup.
The women in Tahiti don't wear any makeup. And now the chief approaches.
Bunga, bunga, chickamonga, lunga, tubble, dote.
He is inviting us to dinner. We accept. Thank you, chief.
Thank you, chief.
Thank you, chief.
Who was that?
The guy who came over on the boat with us.
And so it is that several hours later, we find ourselves seated on the ground, Tahitian fashion.
Partaking of a delicious meal spread out on palm leaves.
Chief, this is a delicious dinner. What is this main dish?
The guy who came over in the boat with you.
And so, having changed the eating habits of the island, we leave this tropical paradise and return to the States full of contentment. This is Maurice Kirkpatrick.
And this is Patrick Kirkpatrick. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Well done, Bob and Ray. Thank you, darling. And now it's time for some more music. We have a young, handsome singer on the show this week. RCA Victor's new recording star, who just crashed Broadway with his first appearance in a musical. The critics speak most highly of him for his New York, work in Paint Your Wagon. And later on in the show, he'll do something from that musical hit. But right now, here's an introduction to this new romantic voice singing an old and beautiful favorite, Diane. The singer, Tony Bavar. Mary, darling, if you please.
Days grow dreary and nights never seem to end. You are gone, but I hope you will return once again.
Once again.
Though each day brings a tear, I smile each time I hear. I'm in heaven when I see you smile for me, my Diane. And though everything's dark all the while, I can see you, Diane. You have lighted the road leading home. Pray for me when you can. But no matter wherever I roam, smile for me, my Diane.
My Diane, my Diane, my Diane.
the road leading home. Pray for me when you can. But no matter wherever I roam, smile for me.
Smile for me,
my darling.
Bravo, Tony Bevart. A most delightful voice, darling. Come here, Tony. I want to talk to you.
Hello, Miss Bankhead.
Tony, would you sing a duet with me?
Goodbye, Miss Bankhead.
Come back here, you. I'll try a different tact on this boy. Before he leaves here, he's going to ask me to sing. Tony, darling, would you like to play in a dramatic sketch with me?
With you, Miss Bankhead? Sure I would.
Good. This is easier than I thought.
What's that dramatic sketch about?
Ego, isn't it? Well, darling, it's a scene in a police station. You're a detective, and you're looking for a gang of crooks, see? Now, I'm a marl who's just been brought in, and you try to find out from me who the brains of the gang is. Now, you can improvise from there on, huh? Okay, go on.
Okay. All right now, sister. Who's the brains of this outfit?
I ain't saying nothing.
Oh, no? We got ways of making you talk, baby.
You won't make me talk, or I ain't saying nothing.
Oh, no? This is your last chance, sister. Come on, sing. You hear me? Sing.
Thank you, darling. I'd be glad you asked me. I'll be seeing you in all your familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through.
Brian will get you nowhere, sister.
I wasn't kind, I was singing.
What's going on here? What's all the racket about?
Jackie won't sing with me. I want him to sing with you, but he won't do it. Would you sing with me, Jack?
Sure.
Why not?
I said, sure, I would.
Oh, you would, darling?
Sure, why not? My house floated away, my car stuck out there in the mud, my insurance lapsed. What else have I got to lose?
Aw, thank you, darling, baby. Meredith, quick, some music before this one gets away. How about Grand Central Station?
It's just like Grand Central Station when I call on you.
It's just like Grand Central Station, but what can we do?
Your father, your brother, your little sister Sue keep coming and going and going and coming and playing peek-a-boo.
It's such a sad situation, a moon up above.
But with that whole congregation, how can we make love?
I want you.
I need you. For crying out loud, let's go to Grand Central Station and get away from the crowd.
It's just like Grand Central Station. All on me, it's just like Grand Central Station. They won't let us be.
Your young brother, Willie, just won't keep out of sight. I've given him nickels and quarters, and now it's a dollar every night. They must be scared that there's something that they're gonna miss.
But darling, I'll tell you one thing, if we're gonna kiss, we gotta get started for crying out loud.
Let's go to Grand Central Station and get away from the crowd. It's just like Grand Central Station when I call on you.
It's just like Grand Central Station, but what can we do?
Your sweet little mother, who never makes a sound, starts shoving and pushing and pushing and shoving the furniture around.
When I think how we're wasting an evening like this.
No, darling, I tell you one thing. If we're gonna kiss, we gotta get started for crying out loud. Let's go to Grand Central Station to get away from the crowd.
back. Thank you, darling. Well, I enjoyed that. I don't care what anybody says. And now before we go to Act Three with James Barton and the rest of our stars, I want to take a quick minute to ring my chimes, huh? This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is The Big Show, Act Three. This portion brought to you by Chesterfield. Sound off for Chesterfield. For the first time, you'll get the cigarette that's much milder with the added protection of no unpleasant aftertaste. By Anacin, for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And by Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor. And Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too. And now, before we go back to Tallulah, let's hear Bing Crosby sound off for Chesterfield.
Chesterfield, from Seattle to Buffalo, Chesterfields are on the go. More smokers are buying them every day, from New Orleans to Santa Fe. Chesterfield,
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 Chesterfield, milder, 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 milder,
Chesterfield.
That's right.
Yes, Chesterfield is something new, no other brand can offer you. Mildness plus no aftertaste, no unpleasant aftertaste.
Sound off
for Chesterfield,
sound off
for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields, do it
today.
All across the country, more and more smokers are changing to Chesterfield. Soon you'll be hearing about Chesterfield sales increasing in your hometown, increasing fast. Because Chesterfields are much milder and give you the added protection of no unpleasant aftertaste. That's confirmed by a leading research organization. So, sound off for Chesterfields. Try a pack today. And here again is Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, darlings, our next star is a truly great artist. He is known as the actor's actor. There isn't anything in the theater he can't do. He sings. He is one of the most graceful soft shoe dancers in all show business. He is a comedian of great talent, and as if that isn't enough, he has starred in some of Broadway's greatest dramatic hits, Tobacco Road for one, and Eugene O'Neill's The Iceman Cometh, to name another. Right now, he's the star of Broadway's newest musical comedy, Paint Your Wagon. Of course, I refer to none other than Mr. James Barton. Well, Jim, you're too clever a man just to stand here making small talk with me. So why don't we get right to one of your talents, huh? Will you do me a big personal favor and sing a song for me?
Now, there's a brilliant question, Tallulah.
Oh, I'm going to have trouble with you, too, huh?
What do you mean, a big personal favor? Now, look, that kills me. Now, why do you ask me if I'm going to sing a song in the first place? If I'm going to sing, you can be pretty sure it's going to be a song. In the second place, I'm not going to sing a dramatic speech from The Iceman Arriveth. And in the second place, when I was engaged for this mishmash, I was told that I was going to sing. So why go through the corny routine of asking me if I'm going to sing a song? What would you like me to sing?
What would I like him to sing? Well, I suppose that isn't corny. Suppose I said I'd like to hear you sing the bell song from Lockme. What would you possibly do about it?
I'd sing it.
Yeah, I bet you could, too. But I know what I'd like to hear you sing, darling. That song you're most famous for, Annabel Lee.
I'd love it. I'd love it. I could throw one great big monkey wrench right into this orchestra right now. And, oh, that's the chop. Oh, yes.
A little script to
well,
this year, darling.
This is it. Well, now, this I haven't got.
It's page 50,
baby. Well,
now, 50,
by a strange
coincidence. It's Act 3.
Oh, that's right. I'm in the wrong play. Well,
who
by
isn't?
A strange coincidence. That happens to be the song that we rehearsed all day.
Well, Jimmy, lucky for me. How lucky for all of us. Give the man a big hand. Melt it, if you please. Now,
here we go.
Now, that's a corny thing to say, if he pleases. If he didn't please, what would he do? Go home? All right, Meredith, if you please, go home.
Well, now, me, oh my, well, look a here. Passing by, now, I declare. Look, boys, you just watch her. She's going to walk right up and talk to me. See her? See her? Step aside, fellas. let the lady pass. Now just take a long look at her. Oh, ain't that class? What's that? Introduce you to her? Certainly. But socially. Who's wonderful? Who's marvelous? Miss Annabelle. Who's lovable? Who's pettable? Miss Annabelle. Oh, now ain't she a pretty baby? Ain't she? Tell me something. Just what would you give anyhow? To be escorting her and supporting her. And mister, let me say, her rent is heavy. Now who's dignified? And who's glorified? Nobody but Annabelle. And who knows her stuff? And who shows her stuff? Why, that's little Miss Lisey. You ain't telling the deacon nothing, brother, 'cause I'm telling you that she's wonderful. Say she's marvelous, Miss Annabelle. Yowza.
Every day you hear more and more about an incredibly fast way to relieve the pains of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. It's Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N. Now the reason Anacin is so wonderfully fast-acting and effective is this. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people have received envelopes containing Anacin tablets from their own dentist or physician. And in this way, discovered the incredibly fast relief Anacin brings from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. So the next time a headache strikes, take Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N. Anacin in handy boxes of 12 and 30, economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100. Ask for Anacin at any drug counter.
Well, it would certainly be a waste of talent, what with Mr. Barton on the show, along with Tony Bavar, not to present a medley of the hit tune from Paint Your Wagon. This is the musical playing the Schubert Theater. The music and lyrics are by the talented Frederick Lowe and Alan J. Lerner, respectively. So now, with two stars of the show on our stage, and with the assistance of Vera Lynn, here is a sample of the score of this delightful musical hit. Meredith, if you please, start off our Paint Your Wagon medley with the orchestra and chorus doing I'm On My Way.
Where am I going? I don't know. Where am I heading? I ain't certain. All I know is I am on my way. When will I be there? I don't know. When will I get there? I ain't certain. All I know is I am on my way. Got a dream, boy, got a song. Paint your wagon and come along. Where am I going? I don't know. When will I be there? I ain't certain. What will I get? I ain't equipped to say. But who gives a darn? We're on our way.
Vera Lynn sings the beautiful ballad, Another Autumn.
Another autumn, I've known the chill before, but every autumn I feel it more and more. For you can dream in spring, when every hope is high. But when the fall comes in, they all begin to fade and die. Another autumn, so sweet when all is well. But how it haunts you when all is wrong. For one thing, time has shown, if you're alone when autumn comes, you'll be alone.
And now the comedy delight of the musical score of Paint Your Wagon. James Barton sings this one, don't you, Jim? Is it about an old man who wants to marry a young girl?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm too old for her, and I wouldn't say that I was too young either. I'm sort of a middle-aged delinquent. juvenile delinquent.
Too young to give a fatherly kiss and too old for the other kind.
Yes, sort of in between. Now I'm younger than a gink that's pushing 80, but I'm older than a boy of 17. I'm more than a lot are and less than some. I'm in between. Now I'm poorer than a man that's got a million, but I'm richer than a bum without a bean. I've more than a lot have and less than some. I'm in between. Now I can soak up more rye whiskey that can have the men you'll find. But there's still another half who can drink me dumb and blind. But as a lover, I'd be way ahead of many. But there are many who are way ahead of me. And so it will go with the man you get. An ordinary in-between, he'll be so why not me. Now I like to be polite before a lady, but I ain't no highfalutin European. Oh, my manners are good, but they ain't the cream. You see, I'm sorta, kinda, in between. Now I've gathered up a tidy bit of learning, but a college, well, they wouldn't make me the dean. Why, I'm as bright as the sun on a cloudy day. I'm in between. Now I'm not exactly yellow or the bravest man you'd see. But I'd fight a dozen Indians. That's if 50 were with me. Oh, there are many ways of saying what I'm saying. But I'll tell you, plain and simple, what I mean. I hope when you go to your room tonight and gaze in the mirror, I'll be seen. Oh, shucks.
Tony Bevar and the great love song, I Talk to the Trees.
I talk to the trees, but they don't listen to me. I talk to the stars, but they never hear me. The breeze hasn't time stop and hear what I say. I talk to them all in vain.
suddenly my words greet someone else's ear, touch someone else's heart strings too. I tell you my dreams, and while you're listening to me, I suddenly see them come true. I can see us on an April night at a table underneath the stars, having supper in the candlelight to the strumming of guitars. I will tell you how I pass the day, thinking only how the night will be. Then I'll try to find the words to say all the things you mean to me. But suddenly my words reach someone else's ear, touch someone else's heart strings too. I tell you my dreams, and while you're listening to me, I suddenly see them come true.
A dream boy, got a song. Take your way.
Thank you, darlings, for a sample of a delightful evening in the theater. And now here is something of interest to you.
For breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Dentine tastes so good.
Dentine freshens your breath.
Dentine helps keep your teeth sparkling clean and white.
Dentine, the gum with breath. Taking flavor.
Before you go out, and always after eating, drinking, smoking, refresh your breath with Dentine. You'll love Dentine chewing gum, for Dentine has a wonderful, tingling, nippy flavor that lingers on and on. It's delicious. And remember, Dentine helps keep your teeth white, too. Keep Dentine handy. You'll enjoy refreshing your breath when you chew Dentine. So, for breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
I must tell you, darlings, about a wonderful picture I saw last night. I almost didn't get to see it. There was a line in front of the theater, and by the time I got to the box office, the picture was about to begin. Well, I said to the young lady, "One, please, and hurry, will you?" What? Yes, yes, a low seat, of course. I want to smoke. Here you are, darling, $1. What's that? Another quarter? Well, just a moment. Another quarter. I have it right here in my purse. Oh, here we are. 10, 20, 25. What do you mean those slugs are no good? The telephone company takes them. Oh, all right, a quarter. I have it here someplace. I know I have it here someplace. Here's my lipstick. Here's my blue lipstick for cold nights. My compact mirror. The other piece of my compact mirror. I know there's a quarter here somewhere. Oh, here are 2 dimes. Yes, I know it's another nickel. I'll find it. Let me see now, my handkerchief, another piece of my compact mirror. There must be a nickel here. Oh, here we are. Take this. What do you mean that's no good? Any grocer would give you a nickel back on that bottle. Oh, all right, I'll find it. Now, wait a minute. Who are you shoving, Mac? Take your greasy hands off my coat. The idea. You'll get to buy your tickets in a minute, and stop pushing. One more push like that and we're engaged. Take it easy. Now let me see my glasses. Another piece of my compact mirror. Oh, my other pocketbook. Now we're getting somewhere. You see, darling, I always carry extra money in my extra pocketbook in case I lose my first pocketbook. Huh? What'd you say? If I lose the first one, I'll lose them both? Oh, philosopher, huh? Well, now let me see a nickel is what I needed, isn't it? Now, look at my glasses. Yes, they're here. My other pair of glasses. Martini and highball. My high school diploma. What's that? Well, it's embarrassing if I go into a bar and they don't believe I'm old enough. Who asked you, Mac? Mind your own business. Now, let me see my rabbit's foot. Down, Harvey. And you have a carrot, darling. I just didn't have the heart to take the foot off the rabbit. Well, now let me see. There should be a nickel here someplace. My gold filling. Another piece of my mirror. My Geiger counter. Mac, I've told you to stop shoving me. Well, suppose the picture has started, so what? I've seen it a dozen times. I can tell you how it starts. Well, it opens with this gorgeous, divine woman, immaculately dressed, carrying a typewriter and wearing a mink coat, and she's sitting in this lifeboat. And that's why they call the picture Lifeboat, you see? And then she, just a minute, don't tell me to move along. I may not look like much to you, but you don't look like anything to me either. And that shiny blue suit and those brass buttons and that badge. Yes, officer. Yes, officer. Yes, I'm just going, sir. Yes, officer. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tallulah, that was wonderful.
Well, thank you, Jack.
No, I've seen dozens of women just like that on buses and picture theaters.
Oh, I suppose you think men don't go through anything like that.
Are you kidding? Men know every minute just what they want to do. Now, let me demonstrate, huh? If I can borrow the rest of the cast, we'll show you four men whose wives have given them a night off and they're about to go on the town.
Okay, Meredith, how about some four men out on the town without their wives' music, if you please?
Now, fellas, we've got to make up our minds, see? We've been standing here in this corner for an hour trying to decide what to do. Now, we got a night out where our own bosses. It's just like being single again, see? So let's howl. Let's whoop it up. Let's live. Now, we've eliminated everything, and we're down to a choice of two things. Now, which will it be? Come on, get closer. I don't want to have to shout this. Do we go bowling, or do we go to see this movie? Let's put it to a vote, huh? Victor Borga, what do you say?
Well, Jack, we went bowling the last time we got a night out. Right after the war, remember?
Yeah.
It was 1920, or 21. I vote for this movie.
Okay, Vic. How about you, Tony?
Well, I'm with the pack, fellas. If you want to go in to see this movie, it's okay with me.
Good, good. Now, how about you, Jim? This movie or bowling?
Gee, Jack, I don't know. You see, I can't make up my mind, see, without my wife. She always makes my mind up for me. Maybe I ought to call and ask her, huh?
Yeah, okay, call her up.
How about you, Jack? You haven't voted yet.
Oh, anything's all right with me. I saw this movie before, but I was with my wife. This time I'd like to hear it.
Well, come on, let's go in.
Okay, now, if we're all set. Hey, Jim. Jim, I thought you were going to call up your wife to help you make up your mind.
Well, I can't make up my mind whether I want to call her or not.
You've got to make up your mind about something. Let's go to this movie. What can we lose? I'll go over and ask the girl at the box office how long the picture's been on.
Okay, with me. Say, while you're finding out, I'll run across the street and get a quick one. Anybody else want a jelly apple?
Okay, I'll take one. How often do I get a night out?
How about you, Jim? Want a jelly apple?
Jelly apple, oh boy. Gee, I don't know. Maybe I ought to call my wife and ask her.
Oh, I'll bring one back for you, Jim. And I'll get you some sense. Your wife will never know you had a jelly apple then.
I'm going to find out about the picture. Excuse me, miss.
Just a moment, you. These two gentlemen are first.
Yes, we're first. Look, Ray, I've got the money right here. Let me pay for the tickets.
Nothing doing, Bob. You're always paying for everything. You paid for the subway coming down here.
So what? Look, after the picture, we'll go to a nightclub and you can pay for that. That'll even us up.
Hey, fellas, I just want to ask the girl one question. You mind? Miss, how long has the picture been on?
Since Friday.
Yes, thank you. I'll be right back. I want to get my little group together. Wait a minute, fellas. I just noticed what this picture is. Lifeboat with you-know-who.
Oh, I couldn't tell my wife I saw that one.
Oh, I got it. We'll all keep our stories straight. Let's just say we saw a Margaret O'Brien picture.
Okay. I'll go over and buy the tickets. Miss, I want four loads.
Just a minute, please. You'll have to wait your turn.
No, Bob, I won't hear of it. I'm buying the tickets. Your money isn't any good here.
Ray, if you don't let me buy the tickets, I'll never speak to you again.
Miss, I want only four loads tickets. Here's the money.
That'll be a quarter more.
A quarter? Well, I got it right here in my wallet. Let me see now. Quarter, huh? Driver's license. My putting license. My wife's picture. My wife's mother's picture. My wife's first husband's picture. Piece of mirror for my compact. Just a minute. Who are you shoving, Mac? Don't think I'm a nobody because I look like this. You don't look so good either. And that blue suit and those brass buttons and that... The badge? Just a minute now, officer. Where are you taking me? All right. I'm going. So long, fellas. I'm going for a little ride. Don't push me up these steps. I can get into this patrol wagon myself. Thank you. All right. Close the door. Oh, how do you do? Well, here we are.
Yes, here we are.
I wanted to see that picture real bad.
Oh, well, I can tell you all about that picture. Driver, take the long way through the parking. Well, you see, the picture starts with this gorgeous, divine woman sitting alone in a lifeboat, and that's why the picture gets its title, Lifeboat. Well, darlings, that's our show for this week. Oh, before we close, there's another item. Every year, the Motion Picture Herald holds what is known as the Fame Poll, in which all the radio editors of America send in their votes for the radio show to be designated the champion of champions. I thought you might like to know, and you can be sure we don't mind mentioning it, that this season the champion of champions is The Big Show. Our sincere thanks to the Motion Picture Herald and all the radio editors. We will try to justify your confidence in all of us. And now for our show next week, we will have with us Fred Allen, Jerry Colonna, Portland Hoffer, Johnny Johnston, Vera Lynn, Ethel Merman, and others, and of course, our very own Meredith Wilson and the Big Show Orchestra and Chorus. And darlings, may I ask you, do you have the time to fight infantile paralysis for your child's sake? It only takes a minute to join the 1952 March of Dimes. Darlings, let us all join up right away. Huh? Thank you. Until next week, then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away.
May you
Vera.
Find that long-awaited golden day today, Ray.
May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10, Bob.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. Victor?
May your walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree.
Meredith?
May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Jack?
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows, never mind what might have been.
Jim?
May the good Lord bless and keep you
till we meet again, Tony.
May you long recall each rainbow, then you'll soon forget the rain. May the warm and tender memories be the ones that will remain.
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been.
May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet, till we meet again.
And Godspeed to our armed forces everywhere. Good night, darlings.
By Emerson for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And by Dentine, the gum with the breathtaking flavor. And Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too. The first half hour of the Big Show is presented by the makers of Reynolds Aluminum, the Reynolds Metals Company, who also bring you the Kate Smith Evening Hour on the NBC Television Network. The Big Show is produced and directed by D. Engelbach, written by Goodman Ace, Selma Dimer, George Forster, Mort Green, and Frank Wilson. Ed Hurley, he's saying goodnight.
Coming up next, it's Mirth and Music with Phil Harris and Alice Faye on NBC.